turning with me. Amen. We'll start. Hallelujah. We'll start in the book of Isaiah, and we'll read some there, and then we're going to also look in the book of Proverbs today and read a little bit there. But, amen. Don't forget the service tonight, 6:30 tonight, be service time. And praise the Lord. 5:30 will be youth service tonight, so all the young people come out. We'll meet with Brother Eric, Sister Kelly, the youth tonight for youth service. Amen. Should be a good service. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Book of Isaiah, I'm going to read chapter 5, Isaiah chapter 5. Amen. Isaiah chapter 5 is where we'll read to you, all right? Praise God. Some weeks ago, I preached to you about on a whole weekend there about our vineyard, the vineyard of our home, the vineyard of our church, vineyard of our own personal life, and we talked to you about that vineyard some. But today, I want to share a little more with you on the vineyard and on our home. It's kind of been, you know, I've just come out of Men's Advance, all right? So we're kind of thinking along these lines, and last weekend we were in Georgia with Brother Ralston, doing a family weekend with them, and so my focus has been kind of thinking on the family and dealing with some of those things like that. But if I could, I just want to share with you here read with me Isaiah 5, and then we're going to look over to Proverbs for just to read some verses. Isaiah chapter 5, now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. He fenced it, gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine. Notice the care that was given to this and the description that we have of this vineyard. A very fruitful hill, fenced in, gathered out stones, planted it with the choicest of vines, built the tower in the midst of it, also made a wine press therein, and he looked and that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked at that it should bring forth grapes, it brought forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. I will lay it waste, and it shall not be pruned or digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain not upon it. Here's a vineyard that has every opportunity, has the best of everything that you could ever hope for this vineyard to prosper and to really do well. It is cared for. It is just everything that you need. It's there, but yet it's a failure. And then he describes what will happen to that vineyard. If you look in the book of Proverbs, chapter 24, and I'll begin reading to you in verse 30, it's another vineyard there. And Solomon, I believe, who is writing this, he is kind of, I don't know how he came upon it. Maybe he looked over the wall and saw this vineyard, but he writes about it in Proverbs 24:30. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof. Sound familiar? The stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, and a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Notice that it says, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Amen. Talk to us a little bit about our home, our family, our marriage. And do you know that it's obvious that marriage is under attack in our nation? It's under attack in our nation. And well, just let me just put a plug in here, if I could, all right? State of Illinois is considering a bill that is a same-sex marriage act in the Illinois, okay? This bill that has been considered in the House that was they had hoped to bring it forth in the lame duck session that just ended not too long ago, and it failed. It didn't get enough votes to get out of committee because there's some really serious flaws with this, and churches have been rising up to fight against it. But I'll tell you more about that. But it is going to come back up. It is going to come back up. You need to write your state legislature. You need to call your state legislature. You need to call your state senator. And you need to voice your opposition against this bill. You need to do it. Okay, if they say that one person that calls in represents thousands of people that have the same opinion but don't ever bother to call, okay? So everyone that you need to let them know what your stand is on this opposition to godly marriage, all right? And the reason why churches are fighting so bad is because it's coming down very hard upon churches, requiring not only the churches that if I allow anybody else to get married in the church, I have to allow same-sex marriages in the church. If I do not, we can lose tax exemption. We'd lose our property tax exemption, all that type of stuff. A lot of things. Let me tell you what, they're coming hard against the church. They're going to try to cram this down our throat, people. They're going to try to cram it down our throat, and we need to voice our opinion. We can't sit back and just say, it's going to take care of itself, and then, you know, okay, enough of that, enough of the politics, I'm going to get moving. But we need to voice our opinion on this. But there is an attack upon marriage. There is an attack upon our home. Okay, and the thing that when I read the book of Proverbs and I read this, I read this about a man that was slothful, a man that was void of understanding, a man that did not get the picture of what he possessed, what he had. He didn't realize, I have a vineyard here. I have something that is precious. I have something that is valuable. I have something that is good. I have something that will produce joy and happiness in my life right here. And we find a man that was clueless to all of that. And the Bible talks about how he folded his hands, how he slumbered and he slept, and he acted just total disregard for what the possession was that he had. And many times we look and we do not realize, we take for granted what we have as a family, as a godly marriage, as a godly home. We take it for granted. And listen, it is not something that will just be there. It is not just something that just happens. It is not just something just because you say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm going to have a Christian home. Yippee. That's not how it happens. It takes work. It takes some attention. It takes you giving it some of your time. It takes you working with it to make it into something that will prosper and bring forth joy. If I gave you a vineyard and you never walked into it, you never pulled out the weeds, you never pulled out the thorns, the thistles, and the briars, and you never tried to clean it up. You never tried to throw out the stones that would come and clutter the ground. If you let the wall that separated and protected it from all those around it, if you let it deteriorate and fall down and crumble so that any and every type of thing can come inside and bring destruction on the vine, if you give it total disregard, guess what? It will look like the vineyard that is described in Proverbs chapter 24. It'll be a waste. It will be destroyed. And it's the same way with our home and if our family. You cannot just sit back, bury your head in the sand, and think that my home, my family is going to be fine. Everything's going to be good, because we're living in a day and age where there is an attack upon the family and upon the home. And you need to do what you can to maintain, to hold it, to keep it together, to make it strong, to keep it pure, to keep it holy. Amen. To keep out everything that would come against it. Amen. To preserve your home and your family for God. Amen. There's great benefits that come, amen, from a godly family and a godly home. And I'll try to get into all these here in just a minute. But let me tell you, amen, you'll never enjoy those benefits if you do not, amen, do all that you can to preserve your home and your marriage. Amen. There is an attack upon our homes and upon marriage. There is an attack upon our families, traditional godly families. Amen. But let me tell you, there is a godly and divine description for marriage and the family. Amen. It's one man, one woman, married, amen, for all of their life. God's divine purpose and plan for marriage and the home. Amen. Realize that that is God's plan. And anything that comes against it is an attack of Satan himself. Because Satan tries to destroy everything that is of God. Man, when we read about this vineyard, amen, there's this vineyard in Isaiah chapter 5. It was the vineyard of promise. It was placed on a fruitful hill. There is great promises in a godly home. There is the promise of family in a godly home, of love in a godly home, faithfulness in a godly home. Amen. There are great promises that we can enjoy. God has not just put us into a godly marriage and a godly home to make us miserable, but there is great joy and wonderful blessings for those that live according to the divine plan of God. There is great joy. Amen. Notice there was protection that was given to the vineyard, a wall that was built up. That wall was there to protect it. It was there a wall of separation to keep out things that would destroy, to keep out the things that would destroy the vineyard. Amen. We need to realize we need to maintain the wall. Amen. You keep your home pure. Keep your family pure. Amen. Keep it pure. Amen. Notice that he went in and he purified this land where the vineyard was. He took all the stones out of it. He cleared out every obstacle that would be a hindrance to the growth of the vine. Amen. You need to look at your home on a regular basis and say, is there anything in my home, in my family, in my marriage that is a hindrance to the growth of my marriage, of my home, of my family, of my children? If there is something in there, it needs to get outside the wall. It needs to be removed so that you can have a room and a place for your vine to grow. Amen. For this vineyard. Man, this vineyard will not grow without that. Amen. There also is one of the great things is this vine, amen, was meant to produce. It was meant to produce something. Man, you can enjoy the good things in your marriage. You can enjoy. But I look and I see the destruction of this home. A destruction. And first of all, this man in Proverbs was clueless as to the prosperity that he enjoyed with that vine. He did not recognize the value. Right? You take a dollar bill and you give it to a two-year-old. Right? No big deal, but you give them a $100 bill. And guess what? They will treat the $100 bill the same way they treat a dollar bill. They do not recognize the value. You put a $100 bill in one of my hands and a dollar bill in the other hand, I see the value. I see the value. I may play with this one, but this one here is going immediately in that hidden place in the wallet. All right? All right? It's going immediately in that hidden place of the wallet, amen, that every man has, and that's getting stashed away because I recognize the value. Okay? Amen. Every man's got it. Don't let your husband fool you. Their wives, they have one, all right? They have that place in their wallet. Amen. And they have that place where they stash that away. But this man was clueless as to what he had. I see men that are clueless. I see women that are clueless. They don't realize what they have. They don't realize the value that they have of a godly home. They act like it's just an everyday thing, that everybody has it. No, they don't. Amen. What you have is something to be treasured, something to be valued, something to cling to and to protect, because it is something that is precious. If you have a godly home, if you have a godly marriage, you need to treasure it. It is of great value. Do not become clueless to what you have. Do not. Amen. This man when we read about in Proverbs chapter 24, he was careless. Not only was he clueless, he was careless. Amen. He was careless to protect it. He let the wall break down. He let the wall that protected his marriage and his home be broken down, and he did nothing about it. He let it go. He saw the cracks begin to form in the joints or in the mortar joints. He saw the wall begin to deteriorate. He saw the condition of the wall, but he was careless, and he did not address it. It became weakened. It began to break down. And then it brought destruction upon the vine. We need to be careful that we do not become careless about protecting our marriage. We need to make sure that we not only remember, always remember, God's standard for marriage in our own life, but we need to advertise God's standard for marriage in our life. What do you mean by that, Brother David? Amen. You need to let everybody know what you believe about marriage. That's right. Let everybody know. Don't be ashamed of it. Amen. Don't be ashamed to go to work and say, hey, I believe. Amen. I love my wife. I'm going to be married to the rest of my life. That's the only one I'll ever have. Amen. I'm going to live with her till the day that I die or she dies. That's the way I believe it. Amen. You devote yourself to that marriage. Advertise it. Let it be known. Amen. When other men start talking otherwise, you let them know. Amen. Not for me. No, sir. Amen. For me and my wife, it's till death do us part. Amen. We will serve God together. Amen. Advertise it. Don't be afraid to let other women and other men know what your standard is for marriage. Amen. Let them know. Amen. We're going to stand up for God. Amen. We're going to stand up for God's divine plan. Let your children know. Let your children know. Amen. Go ahead and remove all questions, all doubt from their mind, all fear. Let it immediately be dissolved in the mind of your children. You know, children, they go to school, they hear about, you know, this family breaking up, this marriage breaking up, this marriage breaking up. Don't you think that brings a little bit of fear into their heart? What about my mom and dad? Amen. They hear mom and dad having a discussion in the other room, okay? Do you not think it puts fear in their heart that, you know, was my mom and dad going to end up like my buddy's mom and dad? And then is my mom and dad going to go to move to separate homes? Am I going to have to go 1 weekend mom, 1 weekend with dad? Am I going to have to live in a broken home? Am I going to get another dad? Am I going to get another mom? That fear that, you know what? You can alleviate that fear. Let them know, hey, me and your mom, amen, we believe in God's standard for marriage. Amen, that we will love each other till the day that we die. Amen, we will be married to one another from this day forward. Amen. We're never going to leave each other. We're never going to separate from one another. But we are going to live this way to the day we die. Amen. Remove that fear from their mind and from their heart. Amen. Amen. Just have that standard, live that standard of marriage. Joseph, he could have committed adultery. He could have committed adultery. He could have made some excuse why it would have been all right for him to do that. He could have made an excuse why it's all right for me to commit adultery. I'm young. I'm a young man. Amen. It's all right. He could have said, you know what? It's acceptable in the culture today where I'm living right now. It's acceptable. I can commit adultery and nobody cares. Nobody, you know, there's no big deal with that. He could have said that. He could say, well, you know, I kind of feel like I like that woman. She's pretty nice. I feel like I like. He could have made some excuse. He could have said, you know what? I was abused when I was a child. I deserve this love. I deserve that. I was so mistreated as a child. He could have said, my mama died when I was a little bitty baby. And so when I was just a child, my mom died, and I didn't have the love of a mother. And so I need this woman in my life. He could have said, you know, my daddy gave me everything that I ever wanted, and this is what I want, so I'm going to take it too. He could have said, I was unloved by my brothers when I was a child. Amen, and I need a little extra love in my life. He could have made an excuse, but adultery is still adultery. Amen, and it's still sin, and it's still wrong. Amen, and you got to believe it in your heart. Amen, that I will not commit adultery. I will not do wrong. I will serve God. Amen. Commit it in your heart and your life. There is never any reason to alter God's standard for marriage. Never. No matter what governments say, there's never any reason. Okay? People say, I was born this way. I was born this. No. there is never a reason to alter God's standard for marriage. Okay? Make a public declaration of what your stance is on marriage. Amen. And stand on it. Stand on it. Amen. You know what? You need to magnify the consequences of adultery. What is this going to do to my family? What is this going to do? How is this going to affect it? Man, many times, and listen, when Satan comes, he blows up this beautiful picture of what adultery is going to do for you. But he never shows you the harm that's going to come to you. He never shows you how bad it's going to be for your family. He never shows you the poverty that will come upon you. He will never show you all that you lose because of divorce. He'll never show you. Amen. Well, if I let down the wall a little bit, you know, so what if I let down the wall of separation and I let some things come into our home and into our marriage? Amen. You know what? Amen. He never shows you the destruction. He never shows you the destruction. You know, Solomon, he looked over the wall. And he saw this vineyard that was devoured, that was destroyed. Notice what he said. I considered it. I looked at it. I let it speak to me. I received instruction from that. In other words, I learned something by looking at that vineyard. You can learn something by looking around a little bit. Look around at those homes that are broken up. Look around at the homes that do not have God in the center of them. Look how the marriages are struggling that do not have their God as the center of their marriage. Look how those homes are falling apart. Look at the children are suffering. Look at the pain that they are in. Look at the frustration that they feel without growing up without dad, growing up without mom, being tossed around and all of that kind of stuff, and not really knowing the love of a godly home. Listen, there's a lot of consequences, and you need to look at them and let it look around, and you can see it, and let this speak to your heart that I do not want that for my family. I do not want that for my children. Do not want it. Do not want it. Amen. I want you to notice something about this man in Proverbs chapter 24. Amen. He was captured by his own poverty. He was captured by his own poverty. Amen. It came upon him suddenly as a traveler. Notice how he describes this. He's a traveler. The destruction of his home didn't come by his invitation. It came surprisingly and suddenly. First, he calls him a traveler. How many of you call the Kirby vacuum cleaner salesman and ask him to come by and throw dirt on your carpet? No. No. But one day, the doorbell rings, there's a knock at the door, and you open it up, and here he stands with all of his Kirby stuff, wanting to come in and show you 10,000 attachments that can be put on a Kirby vacuum cleaner. It will do everything from suck your rugs up off your floor, amen, to clean your light bulbs, to clean your oven, to clean out your sewer drains. It will do it all for you. If you just spend $2,000 to buy this Kirby vacuum cleaner, throws dirt on the carpet, vacuums it up, shows you how dirty your house is, you filthy person. And it tries to sell you that. Right? But you didn't invite him. He just knocked at the door. He just knocked at the door. Next thing you know, here he is knocking at the door. Want to buy steaks? Want to buy some steaks? It's like the little kid down the street knocking at the door. Want to buy candy? You didn't holler down there, is anybody selling candy? Come by my house. No, but it shows up just the same. And one day the traveler will come by your house. One day the traveler will come by your house. Listen, if you look out and you see a Kirby vacuum cleaner salesman making his way down the street, what do? You shut off the lights. You close the blinds. You lock the doors. Amen. You go and you turn off all the radios. Amen. So there's no noise. And then when there's a knock at the door and you know it's the Kirby vacuum cleaner man, you don't go down there and open it. You wait and you wait and you listen for him to walk away and go on down to the neighbors. And then you breathe a sigh of relief, right? Amen. Well, listen. Amen. When the traveler comes, amen, knocking at your door, amen, to bring destruction at your home, amen, you better be ready to descending packing. Amen. Do not open the door. Amen. You want to have a marriage that will survive. Amen. We'll come uninvited. It will come uninvited. It will come unexpectedly. Unexpectedly. Notice it says here, it comes as an armed bandit. Yeah. Anybody ever been stuck up by a gunman? Tom Jackson, have you been stuck up by a gunman? Somehow I'm not surprised. But did he send you a card in the mail, say I'll be coming by? He didn't. How rude. How rude. They didn't call ahead and say and make reservations that I'm gonna stick you up on such and such a day. You better be sure and carry a lot of money with you. Tom carried no, you don't. There wasn't a big invitation given. You gotta be kidding me. That's not how armed bandits work. They lie in wait. And then when you're not expecting it, you feel a gun in your back. And they say, give me your money. Right? They don't announce themselves until you feel the gun in your back. And then they ask for all that you have. Give me all your money. And that's the way destruction comes on our home. That's the way it'll come on us unexpectedly, not announced. And it will want to take everything that we have. Amen. If we don't maintain our home and our marriage, it will take us for all that we have. God help us. God help us. Amen. God help our church. Help our church family. Hallelujah. I pray for every one of your families. I pray for your families. I pray God preserve us. Keep us. But listen, men, you cannot be clueless to what you have. You cannot be careless. Realize what the possession you have and preserve what you have. Amen. Would you stand with me? And there's a story. There's a story in the Bible about King Ahab. King Ahab went out one day and he looked around and he saw this vineyard that was beautiful. He saw a vineyard that was flourishing.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank God that there's people that still have a godly home. You know that? Amen. I want my home to be a testimony of God's grace and God's love. Don't you? I want anybody that looks onto my house and my marriage and my family, I want them to look on and say, my, God's been good. Look at the blessings that they have. Amen. Don't you want that for your family and your home? Don't you want that for your home and your children? And oh God, but King Ahab, he saw this vineyard and it was beautiful. He realized it was one of the choicest of vineyards of all of Israel. And when we read in scripture, he came to the owner of that vineyard, by the man by the name of Naboth. And he came and said, give me your vineyard. Sell it to me. I'll buy it. Sell it to me. I'll buy it. You know what Naboth said? No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. You can't have it. Ahab said, I want it. I'll give you anything you ask. You name the price. I'll give it to you. Naboth said, no, sir. You know what? Naboth, he was not clueless to the value of what he had. He recognized what he had in his possession. He was a man that had invested in his vineyard. His vineyard walls were not crumbling down. There was not thorns and thistles and briars growing inside of his vineyard. There was not stones scattered all around the vineyard. Amen. But no, he knew what he had. He had invested in it. He had cared for it. And if you want a godly marriage, you need to invest in it. You need a godly home. You need to invest in it and give it care. Naboth said, no, I'm not going to sell. I've got something that's precious. I've got something that is valuable. I've put work into that. I've put my blood, sweat, and tears into that vineyard, and I'm not going to give it up. Amen. Naboth, the story goes, lost his life before and they took his vineyard. But the thing about Naboth was, says, I am not giving it up. You will have to take it out of my cold, dead fingers, but I'm not giving up what I have. And I'm telling you what, we need to get that same tenacity about us, about our home. And we need to let the enemy know, look, I am invested too much in my godly home. I've invested too much into my family. I've invested too much into my marriage. I'm not giving it up. I'm not selling out. I'm not giving it up for anything. I'm not going to give it up now. If it's gone for me, it's going to go out of my cold, dead fingers. I am not going to give it up. Man, get some determination in your life. Amen, that I'm gonna have a godly home. I'm going to have a godly home. Say, Brother David, our home. Amen. You know, we've got issues. We've got issues. Amen. I believe that God will help us. I believe that God can work in your life and in your home. Amen. To give you a godly home. I believe that God can save a spouse. God can save a husband or a wife. God can save children. God can work in wonderful ways. Amen. Trust the Lord. Amen. But be determined, I'm going to have a godly home. I'm going to have a godly home. Whatever it takes. Do we realize this morning what we have? What we have. Amen. We have something that's precious and valuable. Amen. With our heads bowed right now. Dear Jesus, God, I ask you, Lord. God, that you'd speak to our heart, Lord Jesus. God, that you would let the love of God, amen, be shown forth into our heart and our life today. Thank you for our homes. Thank you for our marriage. Thank you for our children. Thank you, Lord God, for our children. Lord God, I thank you for a godly home that we can raise our children in, that they will know the things of God and that they'll serve the Lord. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God, help us each and every one to preserve what we have, not to be clueless or careless. But God, I ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would touch each and every one of our lives today. Amen. Church, would you come with me to the altar? Let's find us a place to pray today. Let's pray for our family. Every one of you that will, would you come? Amen. Maybe you'd want to come with your wife and pray with your wife or your husband. And I pray for your children, whatever you'd like to do today.
He deserves eyes for me.
Because
nothing.